Welcome to Tilly's Trans Tuesdays. This week, I discuss a really important step on the journey to discovering our true selves and who we imagined that person might be. The only way to get there is by letting go. Hi, I'm Tilly Bridges, your host, and I'm joined by my writing partner, my best friend, my wife, our token cis representation, a lovely human that I will never let go, Susan Bridges.
Hello.
Our guest this week is Jillian Morgan, the amazing, lovely, and wonderful audio editor for this show that you are listening to right now, which means that they get to hear each episode first. She's currently in seminary working on her Master's of Divinity and trying to actually make the world a somewhat better place for everyone, especially queer and neurodivergent folks, instead of weaponizing religion against people who already have their backs against the wall.
Oh.
Imagine. I didn't know that was possible. When they're not knee-deep in queer theology, they're still holding on for dear life in Fort Worth, Texas, with their partner of almost 25 years and three cats. She loves pizza, who doesn't, and defines herself as non-gender, left femme. Welcome, Jillian.
Hello. I'm on this side
How
for a change.
How are you?
I'm good. How are
How
you?
How have you been? It's been so long.
It really has. It really has. Yeah. Gosh. And I'm actually seeing you now. That's nice.
You're seeing us, we're seeing you, and no one else is seeing anything.
That's right.
I should have been on the call, suckers.
Wow.
The last time you were on the show was back in, like, the early winter of 2023.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask, like, what has changed for you about your transition since then?
Oh, my gosh. What has changed? I have really done a lot of self-discovery on where I am as far as gender goes. And
sure.
You know, finding that I'm a bit more femme-leaning, but I'm a little more kind of in the middle, agender, non-binary, whatever you want to call it, non-gender, left, femme. That's, I found that once. And
I love that description. It's so good.
But it's gone well for the most part. I mean, I had a rough patch where I discovered I was allergic to whatever it is they put the estradiol in when you inject it.
Oh, no.
And that kind of broke my brain for a little while.
Yeah.
And I had to switch back to pills, but once I did, it was great. I was like, oh, okay. My brain is fairly normal.
There are like multiple different versions of it, but like in the US, estradiol valerate is like the only one that's easy to get.
Yeah.
Like Cipionate is sometimes available in the US, but there's been a shortage of it for like years. And so it's really, really hard to get. And there's even better forms that other countries have, but we don't have those here. So
yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
So yeah, that was rough. a fun journey.
Like I noticed that your pronouns went on a bit of a journey.
A little bit. I've gone.
You didn't end up where you thought you were going, or did it change as you went along? How did that go?
It's more figuring myself out. I mean,
sure.
I took the he, him, they, them, she, her highway. But then I went back. I circled around through the underpass and got back to she, they. So
yeah,
that's kind of the journey I've taken with that. And, you know, that seems to be the most fitting. It might be actually a little more leaning they, them, but I already had to retrain everybody once to go from he to she. So I'm like, I can handle either. I don't mind either. Just not a boy. Damn it.
Yeah. That should be an option.
That should be an option.
Not boy.
Not a boy.
Not a boy. Yes, that's by gender.
Not boy, girlish. Yes.
All right. Well, before we move on, where can folks find you online after listening?
Well, I am on Blue Sky at audiojillian.bluesky.whatever. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the only place I go. I occasionally remember I have an Instagram, and I actually have started a YouTube channel where I've put up some of my sermons from class.
Oh, wow.
So you can watch or listen to them depending on which one it is. Jillian FTW, as in Fort Worth, not for the win, because I don't win much.
It could be both.
It could be both.
Two things.
Yeah. But yeah, those are the main places you can find me. So yeah, come see me.
Actually, that's a really amazing thing that I should, I don't know if I should, but I want to mention is that you are a member of like a really progressive church,
mm-hmm.
which is a rarity, sadly. Randomly, my brother also used to attend that church.
Yeah,
he lived out there.
He still does online. Yeah, I've talked to him a few times on there and, you know, he comes by every once in a while and that's just wild. You know, I got to be there for his ordination last year, which was nice. So, you know, it's a weird confluence of the universes crashing together. But it was a neat connection because I had met him once online during a commentary for a seminar years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah. Okay, we did that together. I had no recollection of that at all. I had to look it up later. I was like, wait a minute.
For folks listening, that is one of our audio dramas
right.
that our podcasting company does. Yeah, that's just wild that it just, like, the world is huge, and then once in a while, it's just a little bit small,
tiny.
And it's
yes.
so,
tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, and in fact, when this comes out, I will actually be preaching my first sermon in front of the church on Sunday. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'll put that up on socials, however. If you're interested, you know, no pressure, obviously. And if, you know, that works for you, great. If not, I totally get it. Sorry.
Yeah. If that works for you, it's there.
Yeah. I don't want to push it on anybody. I'm not one of those assholes.
And thank goodness.
And I can still swear, so that's fine.
Yeah, because you have to edit it, not me.
That's right.
My problem.
Right.
It's yours. You have only yourself to blame.
Yes. It's all me.
All right. So this topic of letting go is something that actually didn't occur to me before I began my social and medical transitions. And it didn't even hit me until I was about a year into both of them. But that's because that's when it sort of became an issue that I had no choice but to confront. As I got to that 1 year milestone, it felt really huge, which also now feels a little silly looking back since I'm 6 years in. I mean, it was huge for me at the time, but now I can obviously still see how new it all was and how much further I still had to go. But it made me realize that up to that point, my transition hadn't been everything I expected. There were certainly some things I'd expected, but there were far more that I didn't, which is not to say that I had even an ounce of regret about transitioning. I absolutely did not. But one of the things I had to let go of was my expectations of what transitioning was going to do for me. And again, it had been amazing, and I was truly thrilled with the way things were going, but it's a tough thing to explain. One example that might make it easier to approach it from is thinking about my hair. There are two essays all about hair, if you are curious, and the way it became such an important part of transition for me, and you can find those at
TillyStrandsTuesdays.com.
They will be coming to the podcast possibly later this year with a follow-up, Hair 3. Ooh, spoilers! Anyway, pre-transition, I had no idea that I had curly hair. When it came in wavy, I was like, okay, whatever. And then the longer it got, the curlier it became, and I did not in any way ever anticipate that would be the case. So when I thought about transitioning, when I imagined actually getting to be the woman I am inside, that was never a part of the picture. As a kid, I had mostly straight hair, so I thought that's what I'd have as an adult. The lady inside me, the real me, had long, straight hair in my head. And at first, I just didn't know what to think about having curls. I didn't know if I even liked it. I thought about maybe straightening it, but I'm glad I didn't, and I do not think I ever will. I just so badly wanted to be the image I had of myself in my head, and that mental picture, that was not what my hair was like at all.
Actually really interesting, because I didn't even realize that you did have straight hair as a child.
I did, yeah.
And that your hair is unbelievably curly.
It's magically curly.
Weird.
Woo!
How did that happen?
Well, there is some, of course, anecdotal evidence that estrogen may be partly to blame.
What?
I mean, it does a lot of things to the body, you know, like change your eye color and all that other fun stuff. So it may possibly make hair be a little curlier, but it could be something else too. I don't know.
That is so weird.
Isn't it?
Okay.
It's weird.
But the longer I sat with it and watched it grow and found the right products to care for it and then finally got my first real haircut, which was the Hair 2 essay, and got my ludicrous, lovely, wonderful curly bangs, at each step, I fell more and more in love with it. And not only just because I now feel it actually fits my personality and style, but this new curly hair, it was mine. This is my hair, and I didn't even know it. Mine, 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 and I adore it. But I couldn't get to that point without letting go of the expectations I had. Was there something specific that hit you in this way, Jillian, where you expected something as part of your transition and it turned out that was not at all what happened?
Well, there's quite a lot just from the whole gender experience altogether. But
sure,
for me, I found, and this is not necessarily a estrogen thing, but it's my voice. I, for a while, really expected, you know, I'd really have this desire to push and, you know, train my voice and sound more like a proper woman. And
sure,
and I've realized over the past few years that no, this is my voice. You know, it's somewhere in the middle, and that's okay. You know, I work in some more feminine voice patterns perhaps, but as far as actually trying to pitch it up too much, I don't really worry about that. It's wild that you know, I totally changed how that worked. And I'm so glad you let your hair grow curly, because we wouldn't have the pineapple otherwise.
That's right.
The pineapple is important.
My famous pineapple. You must pineapple the curls to sleep so they do not get crushed and damaged.
Yes.
So, yeah. That's wild, though. I mean, like, the only thing that is really important for any part of transition is that it's what's right for you, right? And so I'm glad that you found that that was where your voice was. But was it hard to accept that you found you wanted your voice to be not what you thought it would be? Like, was there an incongruity in your head between the two things?
For a little while. And, you know, yeah. I still get, you know, I get sirred at, like, drive-through windows or whatever thing. But, you know, once I actually get up to the window, as opposed to the speaker, they're like, oh, ma'am, a lot more now like that. So and that's one thing I'll say working on this podcast has helped, too, is just hearing the diversity of trans voices. Because, you know, we've got some people on here who have very, very feminine sounding voices. And then you have some that sound more like me, kind of in the middle or, you know, whatever. And that's okay. You know, it's helped me learn, just really experience the full breadth of transnessation.
Yeah, that's one of the things I love most about this show, is because all of the people, all the guests we get to have on are so wildly different in what their transition's been like and what they want out of it. And I love just getting to show the world how beautifully different we all are.
Yeah, exactly. We're all different, everybody.
It's like we're humans or something.
I know,
wild.
Weird, isn't it?
I think it's interesting too, like with me being around a lot more trans people now.
Sure.
You, is that like realizing like how socialized you are to expect a gender based on a voice and all those things.
Oh, yeah.
And also feeling like at different times, like if I'm referring to someone and I'm talking to Tilly about them or something and I accidentally misgender them. I used to feel like super bad about it, but part of that is just like it's been so ingrained in us. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's the socialization.
Right.
You're just learning, you're trying, you're making an effort. And that's really what people I feel like get too hung up on. Oh my God, I'm going to make a mistake. Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Like, just accept that you will, because that's how we're all raised. Yeah. Like,
it's such a hard
expectations
thing to break out of. Yeah.
Based on how you were raised, and all of us have them. And it's just, it's part of our DNA, practically.
It is.
Yeah, there was this, I'm trying to think of the exact wording of it, but somebody had said something like, in all like social situations, when you're talking to people, your first thought that you're going to have that maybe you don't like if it's accidentally misgendering somebody, if it's thinking about their race and worrying that you're going to accidentally say something racist or anything like that, it's because the very first thing that you think of is what society has taught you to do. And society teaches us to be transphobic, homophobic, racist, fatphobic, and ableist, and all of these things. And so when you have those, it's
you need to take a beat.
Yeah, take a beat, but realize that it doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It means that the societal conditioning is in you, those implicit biases, which we've talked about on this show many times. And if you notice them, that's the right thing. Ooh. That's the real you saying, wait a minute, this is wrong. I'm going to fix it and do it the right way. Say the right thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so, yeah, I think it's part of that. It's part of the implicit biases
and
of society.
I've learned not to immediately assume aggressiveness when somebody misgenders me. I've learned that it's 9 times out of 10, it's going to be an accident. you know, especially if they know me and they still do it. I've had it happen with a couple of my classes where a professor has accidentally said he and then immediately caught it. You know, they can't correct themselves. Or like in the case of fast food, I keep going back to food because I'm large, but
food is great. It is. It's fabulous. I get it.
It's really good.
I mean, I've worked in fast food, so I know you just get into that routine. You hear low voice man, high voice woman, and you don't even think about it. You're not even thinking about it. You're just on autopilot. And
you are trained to respond that way.
And then when you see the person, it's a little different.
Yeah.
But, you know, it jars your memory. Oh, yeah, that person may not be male. But in the moment, you're just like, take your order, please. Thank you, sir. Come through. Drive through. Yeah,
we don't really have to use sir and ma'am. You just could not do it.
We could just not. But I mean, it's hard because there's no like non-gendered honorific, which we've also talked about on this show sometimes. So that like, you know, like especially when you're working at a job, they will beat into you to be respectful of the customer. So to say sir and ma'am,
I think greetings, fellow human is excellent. But
yes, well, I think there are also ways to be respectful without a gendered honorific. So. That's the thing we can all be working on.
We can all work on that.
Yeah.
Greetings, fellow programs.
A lot of transitioning for me has been very much the same in terms of letting go of whatever preconceived notions I had and thinking about women's clothes. I had this idea in my head of what I'd wear. Turns out I didn't like wearing some of that. It was complicated in ways I didn't expect. For more, listen to episode 15 of this show on heavily gendered clothes and trans people. So it took me a long time to figure out, and for more on that, listen to episode 33 of this podcast on finding our trans style. But that makes sense, right? Cis people get their whole lives to find their style, watch it evolve as they grow in chains, and trans people try to speedrun that, but it often just doesn't work that way. Clothes I thought I would love pre-transition, I found did not look the way I thought they would when I was wearing them, or made me feel the way I didn't want to feel, or didn't express who I really was. It was a process, just like my hair. I was in the middle of learning so much about who I am, and even after all the introspection and soul-searching that it took to discover and accept I'm trans, there was still more to go, which I very naively thought I would be done with once I accepted I was trans. Ha! I was a fool, a rube, a naive, yet also somehow sexy trans lady. Nothing is that easy. But I couldn't have ever gotten to where I am now in a whole bunch of ways without letting go of those expectations I had laid out for myself. And I feel like that very much mirrors what happened for me as I discovered, explored, and accepted my own transness. So did you go through, Jillian, this same sort of early transition process where you're just trying like everything to see what stuck?
Yeah, for me, it was a case of I've always wanted that. So I'm going to buy it and I know I'm going to wear it. And I'm going to love it and it'll look fabulous on me. And then I get it on and I'm like, okay, this is itchy. I don't like fabric, or I just don't like the way it looks on me, or I'm just not comfortable like this. You know, I very, very high femme dresses, I definitely am out on. I mean, you know, all things considered, I'm still a t-shirt and jeans or shorts gal. You know, I don't worry so much about, you know, how it looks. I mean, I do like dressing up sometimes, and there are times when it's very appropriate for me to put on a nice casual dress, sundress type thing. And, you know, I love the way I look in them, but I don't feel like the need to be hyper feminine all the time right now, because that's that's a lot of pressure too.
It is. Was there anything about it that really surprised you? That like you were so sure this thing was for you and then you were like, wait, no, this is not for me at all.
Yeah, heels.
Oh.
I always wanted to be tall, but when I actually put on heels and tried walking in them, It was tough. It was tough. And I was like, you know what? I don't have the spoons for this. I'm perfectly happy without, I can live my life without heels, you know, maybe an inch or something. But yeah, that's one. I've got a closet full of dresses and outfits that I thought would be really awesome that I wore once and then have never touched again. I should really donate them, but you know, I'm lazy. So, you know, it is interesting though, because you always end up going back to, in my case at least, kind of what's comfortable, you know.
And sure.
That may be a sensory thing. I don't know as well. But, you know, it's one of those things that you just have to try it. And what looks good at first may not be such a good thing once you're actually in it.
Yeah. Or even if it feels comfortable, you might be like, but it's not projecting me. Like, I have this real issue now where I, like, spent so long wearing clothes that didn't feel like me. That felt like a costume. Mm-hmm. And now if anything feels like a costume to me in any way other than something that's supposed to be a costume for like Halloween,
right.
My skin crawls. I want to reject it. I'm like, I can't do that. That's not me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, overall, my style hasn't changed that much from when I was male, quote unquote. I still wear t-shirts and stuff most of the time and pretty comfy. The only thing is I've got stuff in them now, which is nice.
There was a nice hand gesture there that I will not describe because this is a PG-13 show.
I'll put in a honka honka sound there.
Awooga.
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 I was assigned male at birth, and despite never once feeling like a boy or a man, I still believed I was because that's what society told me and what I was raised to believe. Societal gaslighting, which was an episode that I forgot to get the number of, but there's one of these show on it, is insidious. And even though it made me feel awful and miserable and distant and isolated and alone, see gender dysphoria in episode 59, that was the identity I had. It wasn't real, but I didn't know that for a long time. And I had to let go of my preconceived notions of who I was told I had to be in order to become who I really am and have always been. It also feels this is something that applies to humans across the board, regardless of gender or lack thereof. We have all these preconceived notions of what our life will be and how it's going to go, carefully laid plans that rarely go the way we think. Which is not to say that you shouldn't plan for the future. I know I certainly do, and have goals and things that you work toward. But nothing is so cut and dry, directly on path with no deviations. Life is chaotic and messy and beautiful. I never set out to write a book. You know the one, because I never, ever, ever shut the hell up about it. In fact, I wrote an article for Writer's Digest about how I accidentally wrote that book. And the only way I realized that was by keeping myself open to possibilities that I had not anticipated. There is a link to that article in the show notes if you would like to read it.
In your defense, it is a very good book.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Everybody should read.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Every single person on earth.
Begin transmission.
Yes.
Oh, ooh. Bonus points for both of you.
We didn't plan that.
Life is constantly throwing hands, and we have to roll with those punches. We have to examine why we want the things we want and why we feel the way we feel. It is the only way to get to the truth about what we want out of anything. For more on this and how to go about it, listen to episode 21 on giving yourself permission to do exactly that, and episode 17 on the trans courage that it takes to see that through. What I am getting at is that it's great to dream and have goals. Vital, even. It keeps us going, motivates us to take step after step and try to get to the end of each journey. Thanks for being here, Jillian.
My pleasure. It's good to see you on video. Someday I need to get back out to California when all the current situation is over. And so I can see you properly. You know, because the one time we met in person.
We've never seen each other properly as our true selves.
The one time we met in person was... Oh, God, it was years ago. That needs to happen someday.
Yeah.
Someday.
Friends, as you work toward your goals, whatever they may be, transition-related or not, don't be so focused on the preconceived notion of the outcome that you miss the slight or major variations that you might like even better. Or you might hate those variations. It's certainly possible, but you won't know if you don't try. And you won't try if you don't push past the fear of the outcome or the fear of the outcome being different than you expected. Let go. You might just like the reality of what you find on the other side. Tilly Bridges and Transmission. Tilly's Trans Tuesdays is hosted by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges with audio editing and sound mixing by Jillian Morgan. The written essay version of this week's topic and all past topics is available at tillystranstuesdays.com. Special thanks to Daisy and Jane for the use of Sorry Not Sorry as our show's theme music. Please stop by and show your support at daisyandjane.bandcamp.com and soundcloud.com/daisyandjane. You can find me at Tilly Bridges on Blue Sky, on Mastodon at tillybridgesandmastodon.social, and on Insta at heckyeahtillybridges. And you can find Susan on those at Susan L. Bridges. You can find Jillian at Audio Jillian on Blue Sky. You can join the Tillyverse Discord server by following the link at the very bottom of TillysTransTuesdays.com. We hold regular watch parties for the Matrix films and other trans movies, where I do a live Q&A, and it's blossomed into a wonderfully supportive, compassionate, kind community of friends. We love to have you join us. If you'd like to keep up with all the writing that Susan and I do, you can sign up for our newsletter at birdguestbroadcast.com. Signed copies of our comics and my book, Begin Transmission, The Trans Allegories of the Matrix, are available on my coffee shop at ko-fi.com/Tilly Bridges. If you're listening on YouTube, it's so cliche, but please like and subscribe and take a few seconds to leave a comment. Those feed the algorithm and helps the show be found by so many more people. If you're listening on other platforms, ratings and reviews help just as much, and I'd certainly appreciate them. Thank you for your support. For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.
Auga.
Auga.
Auga.